Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
We are going to be doing a few messages on have faith in God. Today we begin with the importance of your thinking. You know I have spoken many times on this concept, the importance of our thinking. But the Holy Spirit has laid on my heart as I prepared this to have an emphasis on faith in God. There really was a Garden of Eden. There really was an Adam and Eve. There never was evolution. If evolution is true, it does away with the whole foundation of Scripture. I want you to consider a biblical concept from Genesis to Revelation concerning thinking. Because thinking is the essence of spirituality. In the Garden of Eden, God created Adam, and he said these words in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou shalt eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Dear God, why did you put a tree there if you didn't want us to touch it? Because God gave us a choice to think. You see, had he created us to be a bunch of robots with no choice, he got no glory. But by giving us choice or choices, and we choose right, he's pleased, he's honored, he's glorified. And greatly condensing the rest of the story, when we choose wrong, he gets glory because Jesus Christ paid for our sins. So he gave us choice. It wasn't long thereafter. Personally, I believe it was pretty quickly thereafter in Genesis 3:1, still in the Garden of Eden. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden." The first thing that's recorded about the devil is he tried to trip up Eve to choose wrong. But he did it very subtly with a question. Did God really say that? Did you know that question is still alive and well today? Oh, preacher, the Bible doesn't really say that. Isn't it amazing Satan doesn't have to change his tactics? Mankind still falls. Hath God said, "Ye shall not eat of every tree"? Well, of course, we know the story. Eve did take of the fruit. Adam took of the fruit. And mankind has now a sin nature. What happened? It didn't take long. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, "And God saw the wickedness of man." Well, apparently man made a lot of poor decisions. "He saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was evil continually." How man degenerated in his thinking. He created Adam in perfection. He gave him one choice. Don't take of the fruit of that tree. And in chapter 6 of Genesis, we have the complete evil of man. Noah's flood came. God started again with Noah and his descendants. And look at us today. He said the return of the Son of Man will be as in the days of Noah. Their thinking will be so wicked. Thinking. Consider what Joshua said in Joshua 24. He's now an old man ready to die. And he says these words in verse 15, talking to the children of Israel, "If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day." Make a decision. Think. Reflect. Joshua is saying to this generation, look at all that God did. He delivered you from Egypt. He parted the Red Sea. He guided you through 40 years through the wilderness. He has now guided them across the Jordan. They've conquered the promised land. Would you choose to do right? Well, let's see how it went. 1 Samuel chapter 27, verse 1, and David, King David, he will become King David one day, said in his heart, his thinking, he's talking to himself. He's a fugitive from King Saul. And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. No, you will not, because in chapter 16 you were promised you were going to be the next king. He lost control of his thinking. You read the rest of that, and he got into a terrible mess. Look at it. And David said in his heart, I shall now one day perish by the hand of Saul. God's promise is not valid anymore. There is nothing better for me that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. Oh, David, David, what are you thinking? Many years later, Paul taught proper thinking for true spirituality. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, be not conformed, Christian, to this world, but be transformed by the thinking, the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And even in Revelation, the end of the story, read this, chapter 20, verse 3, and cast him, Satan, into the bottomless pit, shut him up and set a seal upon him, that he, Satan, should deceive, twist the thinking of men, the nations, no more. From Genesis to Revelation, Satan has been trying to deceive mankind. It's your thinking, folks. Would you please understand that? He is a deceiver. What did he do in the Garden of Eden? He planted thoughts in Eve's mind. Did God really say that? And it tells us in Revelation that he should deceive, stop twisting and manipulating the thinking of man. So it is from the beginning to the end, the devil is out to destroy proper thinking of mankind. Satan works by planting thoughts in your mind. Did you know that? He cannot possess a believer because we are sealed until the day of redemption with the Holy Spirit. And greater is he that's in you that's in the world, but he can plant thoughts in our mind. I liken those thoughts to you live along a busy road and people throw garbage in your lawn. You can't help that, but you don't have to let it there. Pick it up and get rid of it. Our study is going to have an emphasis on faith in God. That is proper thinking. And I hope when we're done with this study, you're going to see that is more proper thinking than you ever imagined. And I want you to think about this. When it comes to you truly having faith in God, nobody can do it for you. If you need a ride to church, we can help you. If you need some money, you can get it somewhere. If you need some type of home maintenance, you can get it somewhere. If you need a listening ear, you can get it somewhere. If you need someone to read to you, you can get it somewhere. If you need a babysitter, if you need someone to cook and clean, if you need somebody to teach you the Bible, if you need something, you can find somebody, but nobody can make you have faith in God. You finally have to say, you know what? I'm going out on the limb. But nobody can do that for you. The Bible is filled with promises. An overwhelming theme in Scripture is have faith in God. And the devil wants to lie. God is not trustworthy. Did his word really say that? Nobody can develop your faith but you. You are the one that's finally going to have to decide, Lord, okay, your word says this, everything within me says no, but here we go. You can lead a horse to water, but you cannot make him drink. You can point a Christian to faith in God, but you have to do it. Only you can step outside of your comfort zone, which is exactly what God wants you to do, go out on the limb and trust him. Do you know the only way to prove God? Go out on a limb. You can talk about it. You can hear about it. You can read about it. Until you go out on a limb, you will never understand the solid ground that you stand on when you trust God. We have the faith to believe. I have said it many times. You have incredible faith in that chair you're sitting in. I just can't believe in God. Can you honestly look outside, look at the stars at night, and come to the conclusion there's no God? You do have the capability to have faith. Then why do we doubt God? Because it's proof, it's a spiritual battle. And there really is a very live devil out there with his minions trying to deceive you. Don't trust God. Don't trust God. And God is saying, trust me, trust me, trust me. Every day we make decisions on trusting things. And those decisions are made very quickly. We've done it before. We see others doing it. It seems logical. And our mind processes and we have faith. We have to come to that conclusion with God. He is truly trustworthy. I think if I would give you a true false question, is God trustworthy? Most would get it right. God is trustworthy. Let me give you a quote here, D.L. Moody. Trust in yourself and you are doomed to disappointment. Trust in your friends and they will die and leave you. Trust in money and you may have it taken from you. Trust in reputation and some slanderous tongue may blast it, but trust in God and you are never to be confounded in time or eternity. God and His promises are more certain than the outcome of a video that you have already watched. It's as good as done. Yet many Christians do not really have faith in God for daily living. Consider, some men remind me of a poor migrant who was discovered walking on the tracks of a railroad in New Jersey. On his back, he carried a huge bulk, and as he trudged on, tired and halt, he resembled Bunyan's pilgrim with his burden. In passing a station, an agent ordered him off the track, reminding him he was liable to arrest for trespassing. The man demurred and produced a railroad ticket, good for passage from Jersey City to Scranton. The agent looked at him in amazement and asked, "Well, why are you walking when you could ride?" Well, the stranger replied that he thought the ticket gave him only the privilege of walking on the tracks. His right was explained to him, and the tired man, with delight, boarded the first train for his destination. Surely the angels must look with wonderment at the thousands of Christians who trudge along, anxious and careworn, bearing life's burden without divine help for future hope. How many of God's children, through distrust and unbelief, fail to possess their possessions because we will not step out on faith. Faith is the very essence of the entire spiritual life. Our key verses are going to be Ephesians and Hebrews. Please look at Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And Hebrews 10, 38. Now the just shall live by faith. I'll stop there for now. Faith. Trust in God is the very foundation of the Christian life. It's all in all. We come into this world dead in trespasses and sin. Every person. We have a sin debt on us. And if that sin debt is not settled, we will die with that on us and we will spend eternity separated from God in eternal hell. That's the way it is. Now I'll put an asterisk. Babies that die before they come to the age of accountability are spared. Read that in 2 Samuel chapter 12. So I understand there's an age of accountability. I understand too, I believe that those who are mentally incapacitated, God does not condemn them without a choice. However, the common man comes into this world dead in trespasses and sin at the age of accountability. He needs to trust Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And that alone for his salvation. For salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. The Christian life begins with faith. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are ye saved through faith. The Christian life begins with faith. When you understand in your thinking, in your reasoning, logical mind, I get it. I have a sin debt that I cannot pay. I could join every church in town, walk aisles, give money, water baptism, communion, missions giving. You could do all manner of good things. It will not buy one moment in heaven. You then realize, I get it. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, hung on that cross to pay my sin debt. And I need to put my trust, my faith in his shed blood, his broken body. And when we do that, God knows our thinking. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. God gives you the gift of eternal life the moment you believe, I get it. It's not me. I trust Jesus, not my good works. Jesus alone. God knows your thinking, your faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, his work of redemption, move the hand of God to save your very soul. Then, now that you're a Christian, Hebrews 10:38, now the just, kind of a court term, justice, you've been proven innocent. The debt has been paid. Jesus Christ paid your sin debt. The just, born-again Christians shall live daily by faith. You were saved by faith. You are to live by faith every day. The problem is, it goes like this. God saved my soul for all eternity, but he can't see me through today. Is there something faulty in that thinking? If he can save your soul for all eternity, don't you think he can start today to take care of you? The sinner is saved by faith, and he is to live by faith. And that faith, as a Christian, pleases God. Hebrews 11:6. But Christian, in the context, let me back up just a second. There are no chapter and verse divisions in the original language that God gave the Scriptures. Mankind did that to make it easier to study his word. And I'm glad he did, because it is easier to navigate. So just remember, we saw chapter 10 of Hebrews, but it flows into chapter 11. Don't stop at the chapter division. The thoughts keep going. Hebrews 10:38, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. And the very next chapter, a few verses later, Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it's impossible, Christian. This is talking to born-again people. The just shall live by faith, and without faith, Christian, you can't please him. It doesn't say it's difficult to please him. He says it's a virtual impossibility. Christian, you know better. You have trusted him to save your eternal soul. And then you worry about today. Don't you think we should be the ones that aren't worried? Don't you find it interesting that if you know Christ as your Savior, you're called a believer? What do you believe? Well, I believed he saved my soul for eternity, but I'm not sure about today. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is difficult to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that casually seek him. Folks, I love to read that wrong, because you're sitting there going, no, that's not what it says. It says it's not difficult, it's impossible. Do you want to please God? Then you better start going out on a limb, taking down the mental walls of distrust, making yourself exposed. Dear God, it's wholly on you, and watch him come to life, because that pleases him. But he does not reveal himself to those who casually seek him, to those who diligently say, I will trust you. And that chapter 11 of Hebrews is nicknamed the Christian Hall of Faith, because it lists many saints that have stepped out. Trusting fully in God is proper thinking. Everything you do, you should be trusting God. I want you to get this. Your thinking establishes you. Let's consider. We have within us an internal struggle between believing hath God said and what we know to do. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not to thy own understanding. Every person has that struggle. One side of the coin, trust God, and then there is our earthly understanding. Yes, but, we are to trust completely with all your heart. Your heart is your innermost thinking. It's not your pump in your chest. It's the core of your thinking, your convictions, your foundational beliefs. That's where we are to trust God with all of it. We are to be fully persuaded that God is trustworthy and he will guide and lead and protect. Today we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us, God in the Spirit, and we are to be under his influence. I don't hear audible voices, but I do feel his leading. And anyone who knows Christ and has truly sought his face, you'll understand that. Paul wrote this, "This I say then to you believers, walk in the Spirit, trust his leading. You will not fulfill the lust of the flesh." You'll do right. But we have this struggle between what God says. Dear God, that doesn't make sense. God says, now do you trust me? I guess I'm going to have to come out of my comfort zone, but boy, this is a big one. And the ice doesn't crack. And you go, whew. But until you step out, you never know. We can say we have faith in God till you step. If we don't follow the leading that's guiding our thinking, we're going to be wrong. Galatians 5:16. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is trying to lead us in our own understanding and say, now, wait a minute. And the Spirit against the flesh, these are contrary the one to the other. You cannot do the things you would. We have got to settle this. I will trust God completely, even when I don't understand. If we're not fully persuaded, we're going to be guided by faulty thinking. We will doubt, we will worry, we will suffer lack of confidence, and we will fail to find the peace and joy that God intends for his people to have. We can trust and obey and enjoy what God has, or we can live in doubt and never obtain God's blessings that he has for us. Joshua said, choose you this day. But the truth is, you do have a very real struggle inside. Trust with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. We must get in the Word of God. Therein is our understanding. Okay, Lord, do you think it made sense to Noah to build an ark out in the middle of nowhere? They never heard of rain. Okay, Lord. Your thinking defines you. Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Your thinking defines you. It's all important. Is your thinking based on trusting God? Or is your faith based upon, well, if I can only see it, if I can touch it and tangibly have this explained to me? Thinking defines who we are, for as we think in our hearts, so is he. And what is in your thinking comes out of your mouth. Matthew 15:18, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. What are you thinking? It will come out your mouth. That's scripture. Proper thinking leads to righteousness. Faulty thinking leads to ungodliness. It's that simple, Christian. Therefore, it's important to control our thinking. There's the story told of the man driving through the country, very remote part of the area, few houses. Suddenly, one of his tires blows, and he brings his car to a stop. He opens the trunk only to find he does not have a jack to be able to change the tire. His only hope was a lonely farmhouse several miles back. And he starts the walk. And he's walking. He starts thinking, you know, these people are so far back in the woods, they're not going to like a stranger here. They're going to think that I'm some kind of a weirdo. Really, I'm up to no good. I'm scouting the place out. I'm some kind of a criminal of some sort. And they're not going to loan me their jack. They don't even see my car. They'll think I'll never bring it back. And this man's thinking just goes downward in a vortex, sucked down the drain. And he finally gets up to the front door and he knocks. And the farmer opens the door and he punches him in the mouth and says, I don't want your stupid jack anyway. Because he got himself so worked up with faulty thinking. We are what we think. This man just knew what that farmer thought. No, he didn't. But his thinking dominated his behavior. For as he thinketh in his heart, so he is. Well, we're going to wrap it up for today. But I want to leave you with a couple quick thoughts. Only you can develop your faith and salvation. The Christian life begins with faith. Let that hand represent you. Let it represent me. Let it represent every person that's ever come into this world. Let that billfold represent sin. Every person has a sin debt. God loves the sinner. God hates the sin. Please don't ever think that God hates sinners. God loves sinners. He hates the sin. And God knows there is nothing that we can do to get rid of that sin debt. He wants us to know that. You see, there's nothing that we can do in our flesh. You can join this church, every church in town, walk aisles and go down the list. That will not do one thing to satisfy that sin debt. By the way, what I'm telling you is to change your thinking about salvation if you didn't believe it in Jesus Christ. So, God sees our helpless condition, but he loves us, so he sends his son. Let that hand represent Jesus Christ, born of the virgin, God in the flesh, nailed to the cross, took the sin debt of the world, died 3 days, 3 nights in the tomb. He rose again, paid in full. That is the only way the sin debt can be satisfied. We can't do it. Jesus Christ did it. We have to believe in his work. By faith, you are saved. How do you go to heaven? When you realize in the quietness of your mind, I get it. There's nothing I can do. It's everything that Jesus did on the cross. He paid my sin debt. I believe that and that alone for my salvation. Yes. I can't do anything to earn my salvation. Jesus paid it all. For God so loved the world, but he hated the sin, that he gave his only begotten Son, the only one, the Lamb of God, who could pay, could take away the sin of the world. Whosoever sinner believes in his work of redemption, and that alone for their salvation, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That is the beginning of the Christian life. whosoever believes, thinking. You are saved by faith. The Christian life begins with your thinking. I get it. It's not what I do, it's what Jesus did. And then we're to live each day as a believer, trusting in God.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.